Session number 22113, Reel 2.
J.T. Jones, Reel 2.
Straight to a field, was it, where you mustered?
We ended up in a convoy, all being rushed off the beach, because they had to keep it clear. And I must say, the beachmaster there, I can see him now, shouting his head off, "Get off the beach, you know. Get moving, keep it clear."
Was there any noise of gunfire or anything in the distance?
In the distance, yes, so were. Pretty quiet where we landed. I can remember this one house standing on the beach.
Was that big house we saw in the film, I think?
No, no. We ended up in this field where the remainder of the regiment was. And there were trees all around this field with big sheets of paper on.
Why was the sheets of paper on the trees?
Names of all the men missing, believed dead.
Oh, really?
Hundreds of them. Terrible.
And the men had written these names up, had they?
Do you remember?
yes.
Sorry. Remember his wife used to ask you about me.
And I couldn't tell her, yes, I'd heard from Trev, because her husband was in the
sea.
I must be getting old now, I can't remember names.
But her to a peace of mind.
Exactly.
Because eventually she was involved.
Lance Corporal Billet. That's what I was trying to think of.
Corporal
Billet.
Billet.
He was in a C squadron,
right.
And they suffered badly when the ship was blown up. Yeah. And I went looking for his name actually, but we never found his body. Never found him at all. But I did find. Do you remember I told you my first few days in the army when I met little Joe?
Yes.
I did find him.
Did
and he was. Do you know he was one of the toughest little buggers you could wish to meet? But he was lying in a tent. Crying his eyes out, shocks a hen. I sat with him for a while and he calmed down a bit. But he was full of guts. He carried on driving a Brigham carrier right through to the end of the war and survived. Little Joe, remember him?
To leave him, that some worse than I am, Trev, he said, go and see them.
Pardon?
The one? No, you said that he. The one you sat with, you said, leave me, you said,
it
was far worse over there.
Oh, no, somebody else. Yeah.
Right. So they must have been very demoralised, really, these chaps who were...
Well, that was my first day landing the other side. Yeah. I didn't have all the bloodshed that they had landing on the beach, because it was after D-Day. But to see people that only a week ago I knew as friends, and I knew a lot of the people in different regiments, different squadrons, and to see these sheets of paper... Missing, believe dead. Mm. Hunters.
Yeah. Terrible. They were in a pretty ragged state, really, those that were left, because I mean, they must have all been totally shocked.
Oh, they were out of action. I think one or two officers, and funnily enough, when the ship blew in half, there wasn't an officer wounded.
Really?
They're part of the ship where they were. They were lucky, you know, it wasn't, they managed to get off. I don't think there was an officer wounded. No disrespect, man.
No.
It's just a matter of luck.
It's just luck, isn't it? Yeah.
But I think within days then, one or two of the officers went back to England to pick up at least one reconnaissance squadron. I think it was the Green Howards. And a lot of other people to make up the strength of the remaining A, and because B squadron is full strength. But of course, as a regiment, we were out of action with only one workable squadron.
So did you know exactly what you were going to be doing as a recce squadron?
We had an idea.
You didn't know exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know what my idea was? Guinea pigs.
Really? You felt like guinea pigs.
Oh, yes. Well, if you were sent down a road to reconnoitre it, you were a guinea pig. If you got down a road, all right, everybody else would follow you. And that happened in action a lot of times.
Yeah.
I could tell you about my first day in action. Funnily enough, you know, before we left England, we used to sit in the barrack room, and although I was a sergeant, I often sit play cards with the men and all. And the topic always came up, I wonder how we'll be when the chips are down and they land in France. And I remember for all the talks we had, I always used to say, if we can survive the first day, we'll be all right. And we were. I only lost one man killed. And that is the stupidity of some of the officers too. You wouldn't have been killed, but they were.
So how exactly had you been trained? You were trained to go forward and to reconnoitre.
Reconnoitre.
How many sort of specific skills had you been given about, you know, how to be careful, how to see what was going on?
Well, of course, you were trained in that. Mm. Keep your eyes. This is your saviour, your eyes. And
what sort of particular things were you told to look out for?
Well, tanks and whatever vehicles, signs to say what our opposition was. They could estimate their strengths. For instance, the first day in action, we ended up in a village, and I found the sign of the Panzerlehrer. Our CO could say straight away what strength is in front of us. And we saw a report on states of roads, whether the tanks could follow behind us. Uh-huh. And mainly, one of our biggest jobs was what we call seasonal hold. The armoured cars would, if there was a bridge that they wanted to get to before the Germans blew, my armoured cars would try and get to that bridge. And if we could, the Bremen carriers then would come up and hold it, seize and hold. Mm-hmm. Right. Worked a few times.
Yeah. So your first day in action, this was from this field, was it?
No.
You'd moved on a bit then.
We were about a week in France without doing anything.
Right.
We were under strength, couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But
did you get an idea of what was going on or what towns they'd taken, or did you get any news of what
we were having news all the time about different things, but we were mainly out of action. We couldn't do anything. We were stuck in this field for the best part of a week. And then I think we moved to the outskirts of Cannes. They had a heavy bombardment there, and we were we had a flank job doing something there anyway. Nothing much, because only one squadron and we had. Yeah. But when we were at full strength, we moved out of... And I remember we came to a place called Jerk's Hill. Mm-hmm. I think that was my first day in action.
Right. What sort of a place was that? Can you describe the...
Well, you know the Brecon Beacons. Mm-hmm. It is a hill like that. And a beautiful, well... textured road going all the way up, winding all the way up. But there were Tiger tanks dug in on the top. And we were stuck there for 2 days. And I watched the infantry trying to get up there. Oh no, they suffered heavy casualties. Then I watched the typhoons trying to get these tanks. And then on the third day, you can imagine, about early afternoon, my troop officer came back from an old group, and he said to me, "Trev, I don't know how to tell you," he said, "but you've got to go up there." And that is my first job. I learned a lot from that, mind.
I think you did. Was there any cover? Were there any bushes or trees?
Nothing at
just
all.
Just grass. Yeah.
So I was taking a light car with me, just one patrol. And of course, if I got up, the others would follow. And we decided that we'd keep spraying the side of the road, because that's where the danger lay with the bazookas, you know. And but you couldn't get up speed. It was going uphill like that. And speed is your safeguard. If you can, the faster you go in, the harder it is to hit. Anyway, one thing I did then that I never did afterwards. As I say, I learned from my first day. We didn't know exactly what to expect going up there, our first day in action. And I said to my driver, "Keep the guns going, spray the roads with machine gun." And I took a grenade from the rack inside the turret, took the pin out, threw it away, and I had my revolver in my right hand and my grenade in the left hand. And we went up the hill like that. And they had withdrawn in the night. How lucky we were. And when we got on top of the hill, I reported back clear. And I looked at that. I was afraid to open my hand because obviously it had... what the hell am I going to do with this? So I just threw it away. And as I threw it, I thought, supposing I'd been wounded? I'd have fallen and that grenade would have killed my own men. I never did it again. That is one of the things I learned. Stupid thing to do, but my first day in action.
So, I mean, it seems, other people have tried to take the hill and then they suddenly decide to send a recce.
Well, they had an idea. They must have had an idea that they'd withdrawn in the night. Must have, because they were sending tanks up there. They were knocking them out left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
That's why I thought, well, what the hell can I do?
Yeah.
But I tell you one thing I remember about that is when we moved down into the bottom of the hill, ready to climb up Duke's Hill, there was a load of staff officers with their brilliant collars, you know. And there was one there, even now today, I'd like to kick him where he does.
Yeah.
He stopped my car like that, and he had a watch in his hand. Mm-hmm. And he looked at his watch, and he said, "Off you go." And in that sort of accent, public school, when I think of it now, after 50 years, I get angry. "Off you go." I could have been going to my death for all he cared.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is the day I lost my armoured car.
Right, that first day.
Hmm.
Right. So you've got
when I got to the top of the hill, everything followed me up. Tanks, trucks, armoured cars, everything. The road was congested, nobody could pass. So Tom Carter, our CEO, said to me, "Push on to the village of Onderfontaine, and near him I'll take to my grave." And I had a route which meant me turning right. At the beginning of the village, there was a road turning right. There was also on the map a road at the end of the village turning right, which would meet in the same road that we were going on. And when I got to this beginning of the village, this is still my first day, mind. We caught two Germans in a house outside the village. One was pulling his trousers up. He'd been to the toilet, and he didn't realise that we'd got that far, you know. Anyway, when I got to the beginning of the first road I should have taken, it was heavily cratered and dozens of bodies all over the place. So
German,
I thought, looking at the map, I thought I'll take the other road. And I went through the village, and various things happened then. We ran into some Germans digging in the village, and they run. They got into a half track and run, I think. And then my car was in the village now, right at the far end of the village. And we had Sammy Borsen, I think it was. He was commanding 7th Troop. I was 5th Troop. He was a good chap.
Sorry, Sammy?
Borsden, Lieutenant Borsden, Captain Borsden, yeah. Anyway, we were talking about what to do, and we heard a tank, tracks coming up from the road we should have taken. And we both dived into the hedge, you know, and a big German Mark IV passed us. In fact, it sprayed us with dirt. So we knew that there was a lot of opposition in that area somewhere. And within seconds, it came on the air that there was infantry coming in from the north of the village. So I went back to the Aunt Sam, I should say, Lieutenant Borsden, and indeed it is the Dorsets, I think. They'd come in from another angle.
Yes.
And we met in the village, and they brought in their anti-tanks and they bring them carriers and everything, and the village was chock-a-block full. And I'd pulled my car into the sort of side of the road to allow them room to manoeuvre. And the Germans counterattacked with two Tiger tanks.
Really?
And all the infantry scattered, leaving the bringer carriers, their anti-tanks in the middle of the road. I was stuck, I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And I did something we had never been trained for.
Mm.
And I said something I'd never been told to say. Bailout.
Yeah.
And we got out and got away into the, behind the houses, and then this tank was shooting, or bullets were going through the house like, oh, like butter.
Mm.
Another thing I remember, we crawled back through this village. Now, the Germans were really attacking in strength, and the infantry was completely disorganized for a while, and because that is their strong point with the Germans, they always counterattacked.
Yeah.
And when we got halfway down this big main street in the village, there were long gardens going down to the road. And I said to Frank and George, my gunner and operator, there were some infantrymen in this porch or barn too. I said, hang on here, I'll go down and see what's happening. And I crawled down the hedge just to have a look. And as I was going down the hedge, I heard some of the infantrymen saying, bugger this, we're going, are you coming to Frank and George? And the short sort of men they were.
Yeah.
You go, he said, we're waiting for that sergeant and we'll stay with him. And I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I got on the end of that long garden, who should be across the other side but Sammy Bolsden? And there were bullets bouncing down the road like hail, you know. And he shouted, glad to see you got out, Trev, he said. I'm going to try and get at that gun. There was a 6-pounder that had been dismounted and the legs splayed, but hadn't been pinned down. But he said, if I can get at that gun, he said, we can have a good shot at the tigers, because they were a direct shot in front there. And he did get to the gun too.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been decorated for that too.
Yeah.
He was killed the following day.
Really?
Oh. No, not Sammy. I ain't getting mixed up again.
Yeah, that's all right, yeah. But he managed to get to the gun.
But he didn't have any shells. Didn't have a round to fire at them. But anyway, cut the story short now. I'm back up to George and Frank, my crew. And we worked our way back to the other side of the village. And one of the 6-pounder crew who was withdrawing at the time gave us a lift back to our own regiment.
Yeah.
And I came away like this in my shirt sleeves.
Really?
My revolver and my earphones are on my neck like yours now. Another thing I remember is when I walked into the field where the regimental headquarters were, Sammy, Major Carter, Tom Carter, mm-hmm. Fine chap, one of the best chaps I've ever met. He was coming down the steps of his command vehicle and he had his customary pipe in his mouth. And it nearly dropped out when he saw me because he shouted, damn, I've just been reporting you missing, he said. And he came across to me and he said, you and your bloody car, he said, we couldn't pass any messages. Because when they captured my car, all they had to do was turn the volume of the wireless head up full. And he jammed all the frequencies for talking in that area for 2 days.
Really?
But what I remember, the Germans, when they captured my car, turned the volume fully up. And he jammed all the messages around that area. But what I do remember is, you and your bloody car, he said, and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, thank God you're back. He said, I can always get another car. And that is my first day in action.
Yeah, goodness. So, had you, during all that, which is all very exciting, I mean, had you had a chance to actually shoot at any Germans?
In the village, yes.
Yes, oh. Yeah. So it was, I mean, they were in and out of buildings there, were they?
Not so much in and out the buildings, they were attacking in force.
Right, yeah. How much was the village destroyed? Were there any French people left there?
Oh, I didn't see any. No. All I know is that the first road I should have taken at the beginning of the village, where I said it is heavily crated, it is very heavily crated, and the number of bodies are on there, and they were all Germans.
Right. So we'd had quite an effect.
And, you know, that again was a bit of a shock to the system, to see so many dead bodies, capacitated, heads off,
yes,
and limbs, you know. You never get used to that, see?
No.
You don't know what to expect when you see things like that, but you do get hardened to it.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway,
it must do, it's survival, isn't it? Yeah. So.
And I took a patrol into the village the following morning. Not my patrol, I went because I knew the village. A patrol from the assault troopers went into the village to see what the situation was, and they'd withdrawn in the night.
Really?
And where my armoured car was my BlackBerry with a hole in it.
Yeah.
And a photo of Cardiff City football team, because my brother was captain of the Cardiff City at the time. And obviously they'd ransacked the car and driven it away.
Still with the volume turned off.
Well, for 2 days.
Yeah.
I had another one within 2 days, another car.
Right. So you hadn't lost any of your crew, so you went into a new armoured car and carried on.
Same armoured car, same sort of humbug armoured car, see, so there was no change, except we lost everything, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So, the next day? Did you see any action the next day?
Oh, you're going a bit fast. No, I can't remember.
Oh, right. That's all right.
No, obviously I didn't do anything the next day. I had somebody give me a few blankets. Yes, I remember Lieutenant Batcher, was it? His name was in here. I think his name was Vacher, mm-hmm. and Monty Banks, another lieutenant. Mm-hmm. They brought their bodies back that day. We buried them in the field.
Did you have a padre with you, or was he back?
Pardon?
Did you have a padre with you, or was he back?
Oh, we used to see him regularly.
Did you?
Gethin Jones, he was a good man. Yeah. Mm. Hello, I remember. One time, for months afterwards, there was a big attack going on somewhere up in Holland somewhere. And he was a very likeable man, Gethin Jones, and a very good man. But he came and gave us a little sermon in an empty house somewhere in France or Germany, I can't remember now. And I remember I said to him, I wonder if the German padre is doing the same with the Germans in the next village. Absolving them. Mm. Might have been.
Yeah. And that was the theme of his sermon, was it? Absolving you of...
Well, I can't remember. I don't think it went in much. You know, he was thinking too much of what he was going to happen. Because we used to move out, when we were in action regularly, we used to move out very often before dawn. Mm. And if we had a job to reckon out the roads or bridge... We'd probably be moving through the infantry lines before dawn.
Right.
It's a long day.
Yeah, yeah. So you were always the first to move, as it were.
Well, I wouldn't say always the first, but we were very often in front.
Yes, yeah. So going back
That's
to
what made me think that very often we were treated like guinea pigs. Mm. But I'll say this again about Tom Carter, our CO, he was one of the finest. And Lieutenant Colonel Kinnersley, our CO, two of the finest men I've ever met.
Really? Yeah. What was their particular?
Well, Tom Carter was a major in charge of B Squadron. Right. And Lieutenant Colonel Kinnersley was our CO in charge of the regiment. Uh-huh. I remember him as a lieutenant. Yeah. But he was a good chap. And so was Tom Carter. But there were some others that not quite so good, mind.
So going back to the Caen area then, had the town of Caen been taken then?
Oh yes, it was taken the following day. There was a 500 plane raid on Caen, where they flattened it. Mm. Flattened it.
And
that's when the Germans started the big retreat, which ended up at the Falaise Gap.
Yes.
Yeah. I went through the gap before they actually closed it, you know.
Did you? Oh, right. So tell me after...
They wanted to get to the Seine.
Yeah.
And my job was to get to Vernon. Mm-hmm.
So you were sent forward from where? Where were you when you sort of...
Somewhere in the Falaise area. We went through there before they closed the gap. And I was at Vernon and the Seine the following day. Mm-hmm. I remember that we all suffered with our eyes that day. Burning, red, couldn't see, lasted 2 days. I don't know what it was, but something in the road that, and it had been raining overnight, but it affected our eyes badly.
Right.
I couldn't do anything for 2 days.
Really?
Yeah. And not only myself, a lot of us. And the Donars were the worst.
See?
The Donars, a bit on motorbikes, they were the worst.
Right.
Nearer to the... That's what made us think of something in the...
Something in the dust.
Oh, it cleared in a couple of days, and then we crossed the Seine and...
Right. So going back to Caen, then that fell, and then you went where after that?
Oh, well, various places around Noiro, the River Noiro, is it? Normandy, Oh, I can't remember now. The book tells you.
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm just wondering what you can remember, you know. Can you remember particular incidents or...
She says, yeah, we went through the Valley Gap and then it's the Vernon Bridgehead.
Yes.
Where we crossed the Seine.
Right. So what was Falaise like then, before?
What does what?
What was Falaise like? What was the area like before...
I had no idea.
...filled up with Germans?
No idea.
What did you
the only recollection I got of it was a tremendous destruction of... men, animals, vehicles. Oh, you've never seen anything like it.
Right. So this was after the...
Mile after mile of dead horses, dead men, tanks, cars, you name it, it was all knocked out. Thousands were killed there. Anyway, we went through the Valley Gap and my job was to get the Vernon across the Seine, which is the next objective.
Right. Yeah.
And that is a hell of a thing too. The river was red.
Really? Mm. So Vernon was a village.
There was a big bridge going over the Seine there, which we wanted to capture, but the Germans blew it.
Right. Uh-huh. So tell me about your part then. How did you actually approach Vernon and what were your orders?
Well, my orders were to get there as quick as possible. We just took a lot of chances. We were driving faster than we would normally have done. And when we got into Vernon, lo and behold, who do you think was there before me? The Americans. The first thing I saw as I drove down to this bridge, which was, you could see it as brown, was a German, an American, what do they call them? A six-wheel armoured car.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember him saying, "Ah, there's Monty's boys." I could hardly see him after a while. He took me into a chemist shop that is still open in Vernon. They bathed my eyes. Anyway, they put a bridge over the Seine in a few days, and I was one of the first mechanized things over because the bridge was only strong enough for armored cars at that time.
Yeah.
So we went over the Vernon Bridge with express orders to support the infantry with our machine gun fire,
right.
Not to go beyond them.
Yeah.
But when we crossed the other side, oh, it is very mountainous, hilly. Uphill bends, all bends, and the Germans were counterattacking like hell. Yeah.
So you were in support of the infantry. Did you set up?
Well, we did get up quite a way up the hill first of all, but when the Germans really started to counterattack, they were using tanks, which my cars are no.
Yeah.
And I lost one armoured car. And we were drawing bend by bend in this road coming down the hill, and the Germans were pushing us back. And lo and behold, late in the afternoon, two tanks came over. And the first one had a 17-pounder gun.
British tanks.
British tanks.
Yes.
And you know, he went up past us to the first bend in the hill, and nothing came past him. He stopped them all. We did knock out a Tiger tank, man.
Did you?
Goodness,
what with?
With a 6-pounder, funnily enough. We had a 6-pounder with a Little John ammunition. Little John, they had a how can I describe it? An extension to the barrel of the 6-pounder, which you clipped on, which, with a slightly smaller bore than the gun itself, which meant that when the shot was fired, it built up such resistance inside that it increased the muzzle velocity nearly double.
Right.
And this... chap on the 6-pounder, he caught this Tiger tank as it nosed around the bend of the hill, and he put one straight to the front, which is the most heavily armoured of all.
Really?
And killed a lot.
Yeah.
One shot went right through.
Mm. Amazing.
But anyway, we ended up, and these two British tanks came over, and there was a young officer, he couldn't have been more than 19, and he pulled in by the side of me, and as we started to talk, "Hello, Tap," he said. By accent, probably. And we decided he'd take the right and I'd take the left with machine guns just to stop any infiltration of the... Because the fighting is going on at the top of the hill. So the tank with the 17-pounder stayed about 100 yards in front on the bend of the road. And we covered each side of the road with our machine guns.
Right. I'll stop you there. John Taylor, end of Reel 2.